Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Brownie.
And we were just talking about it 2 seconds ago, but what episode is this, Chris?
This is episode 46.
46.
Yeah.
That is a lot of episodes. So Kara claims that I'm a big talker, and that if we took up, I was gone for 5 podcasts, and if we added up the total amount of stuff people talked about, including those 5 podcasts.
If we had a software that recognized voices and there was a word counter, even with you being gone for 5 episodes, you would still have the most words.
I think that's false.
I don't think that's false at all. I think our podcasts are longer when you're here and they're dominated by Jeremy's story.
It's true. I think people should comment below. Is Jeremy more words?
Who talks
words?
The most?
I think Jeremy has more words than Chris and I combined.
Who has the most words is Keith. I'm kidding. Or any Bill.
So Bill's done 2 guest appearances. Keith has done
2 because he was here while Jeremy was gone.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's done so much more, but we did so many games with him.
Yeah. And then Justin was on once.
Yep.
He was supposed to be here today.
We will have him on soon.
Yep. Justin is coming.
There is a lot of extenuating circumstances going on in the world that makes this really interesting to...
So for a while, it's just going to be us.
Yep.
So, and in case people are wondering how our distribution may or may not be affected by this, the place where we do our podcast is isolated enough that we don't think... There's not, like, public interaction to get to where we shoot.
Right.
Nope. So as long as... We feel safe with ourselves.
The 3 of us.
Yeah, we're going
to
be...
And as long as they don't do a shutdown where they quarantine everybody to their houses, no matter what.
Yeah, so, and that could be a thing, but, you know.
If it is, what are we going to do?
Call Ghostbusters. No, we're talking about doing some live streaming, like playing games and talking and stuff, so.
I think that would be fun.
I think it would be. I think it'd be fun. We should every other week. Instead of a podcast, we'll do that.
Twitch Talk.
Exactly.
That'd be pretty interesting.
Twitch Talk. It's the new podcast.
So the one thing that I want to look into is I like you can stream to Facebook or YouTube or Twitch or whatever, but I wonder if there's a way to go to multiple places. I know some people would prefer to not interact with Facebook, but if we did something live, if they could see it on YouTube or whatever.
I feel Twitch. Because like you don't have to create an account to watch anything on Twitch. I guess you don't really have to on Facebook either, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Twitch is simple.
So, I don't know. So, we'll look into it. It'd be nice if we could put it out at multiple platforms simultaneously. That people could go to their place of choice to take it in instead of being like, hey, you have to go to Facebook, or you have to go to Twitch, or you have to go to YouTube.
We do have one solution for that, though. We'd be PC gaming, I think. We'd be PC gaming.
We all have
a PC.
Yeah.
So, we can have, like, stream exclusives. So if you want to see me and me host that stream, my stream would go to Facebook. Kara's would go to
Twitch,
and you would go to YouTube.
That could work.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that could work.
So we'd all be in the same chat or whatever. We'd each
have
our own
stream. Who would have the most viewers?
Yeah,
you're so funny.
She's probably not wrong. People go to Twitch to watch streams,
right?
And Kara is probably the most popular person on the show, so I think that she like has the most ideal environment.
But
boom.
They could see the world through, like, you know, you could have your own home. That'd be fun. That'd be a good way to hit 3 anyways.
I think that'd be fun. We should do that. Just to see how it goes. I like it.
You guys underestimate the power of my family.
Jeremy's mom watches everything.
Here's the thing. I would have more streamers than Jeremy. And it, all of a sudden, like, Annie would be calling Janae, you got to watch Jeremy. Jerry, you got to watch Jeremy. Sally, Buck, y'all have to watch Jeremy.
Al,
and Jeremy
David,
would
Nissa.
Go from like 3 viewers all the way up to like 1,000 viewers.
For like 2 minutes, and then everyone's like, oh, Jeremy, yeah, let's go watch Kara instead.
Oh, he's gaming. Boo.
Yeah.
You're not talking about anything fun, but what we were talking about, Stardew Valley is one of them.
Yep. Something that's like, depending on how much people want it to resemble the podcast, something that's a little bit slower paced.
Right.
Where you're not worried about like.
It'd be much easier to carry on conversations during a Stardew Valley.
How cool would it be if there was a Star Wars version of Stardew Valley?
Star Wars Dew Valley.
Right.
Instead of fighting slime balls and the monster, you're fighting Gundarks and trying to think what little Womp Rats?
Yes. yes.
Womp Rats and...
I was going to say instead of Skeevers, but no. Skeevers are Skyrim, which I started playing again this week.
Instead of getting a horse, you should get to ride an AT-AT, though.
Oh, you get the AT-ST. Or one of those little, like, one-man ones they use in the Clone Wars. What are those?
AT-ST small worm ones or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like the, where you basically... It's like a sit-on-top type thing. You're not inside. What are those called?
I don't know. We're really going to get lit up for not knowing our own.
Yeah. Woo! Didn't we just do a big ship tournament?
The ATTE is their like...
Land walker.
Yeah. The six-leg one.
Yeah. I love those things. They look cool.
We have the Lego set of that, don't we?
Kara got me the cool Lego set from Rebels when somebody repurposes it to be a fishing rig.
Oh, cool.
A desert fishing rig. It's cool. They fight like sea or sand serpents with it. Like,
it's cool.
They catch them and...
Rebels
is fantastic.
It's a solid show.
So, all right. So we got some Star Wars news going on. Like, yep. We're gonna keep this positive for everybody. We're not gonna worry. You're here to have a good time and not worry about the stress of the outside world. So, Rosario Dawson has been allegedly. She's for sure in season two of The Mandalorian, but people are assuming it's as Ahsoka.
Because I mean, she has been begging to be Ahsoka for quite a while.
How big of a double cross would it be to bring her onto the show and make her like bartender number three?
Oh, right.
Well, here's the thing. They've taken big names and they've kind of made them really small roles and killed them off in one episode.
Right.
Well, John Williams was a bartender apparently, and I totally missed it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Really?
I saw that.
Yeah, was it in episode one or I don't know the context of it. Yeah. I saw the shot. I was like, oh crap, that is John Williams.
Yeah, like 10 things you missed in The Mandalorian or something like that. And John Williams, isn't it?
Well, you know, the voice actor for Anakin was the rebel guard on the ship episode with the one with Bill Burr and the gun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the guy from IT Crowd was the alien bounty hunter fly looking guy.
Yep.
I picked his voice out of a crowd. I love that show so much.
Yep. Oh man, why is his name escaping me right now? Doesn't matter. He's awesome though.
Yeah, he is awesome. Him and his co-star do that show online where they go they do a fun like YouTube style channel video where they go around and interact with people, and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Scottish guy drops like a really really rare expensive snow globe and he like fakes it and he drops it for real. He's like, oh, and then the reaction is priceless. It's really funny. But yeah, so that's kind of exciting. So you're worried about the voice.
I am. I've only seen her in The Rundown, and that was like 20 years ago. And so I'm kind of like, we'll see. And Ashley Eckstein is Ahsoka.
Well, how do you think, you know, Ashley is very territorial of the character. Hence, she started her universe.
She has every right to be. Well, everybody hated Snips in the beginning.
Well, people like Snips.
And now they love her.
Because she's awesome.
She is awesome. Ashley's had to, you know, be her little defender.
We told you what her original dialect was supposed to sound like?
I'm going to guess Jamaican.
Icelandic.
Icelandic?
Yes.
She got a vocal coach, like a speech coach, to help her learn Icelandic
dialect or tongue or whatever.
Weird.
And to have that accent. And so she went and they told her
it's not Icelandic enough.
Yeah, she went and so she's like, she did a little bit and they told her to come back after she's had some training. So she went and got all this training. She comes back, she reads one line and they said, stop, you have to go
Dave
more Icelandic.
Dave Filoni told her, it's not Icelandic enough.
You need to go more Icelandic. And so she just like almost broke down.
And she finally was like, I can't get any more Icelandic
I'm done.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm done. There's like an awkward pause.
And then he was like, how about you just read it in your own voice? And so she did and he was like,
I like it.
Interesting. What is Icelandic? I'm like, in my mind, it's like,
I don't know.
Herfden Arthur.
It's Skyrim, the Nords in Skyrim.
Oh, so like pretty much.
I used to be an adventurer until I took an arrow to the knee.
Can you imagine Snips with that voice?
I mean, a man's voice.
like with that accent.
So I took a lightsaber.
The thing, like the dialogue between her and Anakin is so fast. I feel like having that because like that type of inflection is so slow.
Derpy.
I think her personality would have to be completely different to fit that type of voice.
It totally would. Absolutely. Like she wouldn't be her sassy to Groot herself. She'd be just.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah, sassy and Icelandic don't seem like that they would mesh well.
Now we need to call up some Icelandic people and have them be sassy to us.
We right. Can you read like. Some of Snip's lines in your Icelandic accent, please?
Oh my goodness.
There's two things you're maybe wondering about. Either A, so she plays the actual character, but you want Ashley to revoice it. Mm-hmm. or B, that Rosario ends up doing the voice too. How would that make you feel?
I think I'd be salty if they had Rosario do her voice.
I'm open to, I think that it'd be more insulting to Rosario Dawson to have Ashley Eckstein dub the voice.
But at the same time, she'd have to be understanding. Like,
If somebody told me that was the case, like if somebody cast me to do something and they're like, we don't want your voice, I'd be like, no, get somebody else to do it then.
Right.
Like, I think that'd be like all of the performance, like outside of just going like moving, people can't see me. Right. Outside of the physical motion of it, all of the performance comes from the way that you present the dialogue.
Right.
So that's basically saying it's like, we just want you to be a stunt double, essentially.
Right.
Totally worth it.
So
I'm just saying, like, Ahsoka was my first cosplay. I am very particular about Ahsoka, how she sounds and everything.
Fulcrum was in and started the Rebel Alliance. Mandalorian takes place after Return of the Jedi. So there's probably at least 10 years there from the last time we saw Ahsoka. 40s. So she can still have a little bit deeper voice, and that'd be fine. Doesn't have to sound like Ashley. I agree with Chris.
I don't think Rosario Dawson necessarily has like a low voice either. Like I've never had any issue with anything she's ever said. I think she's played some awesome characters.
Yeah.
So I'll say this too. No. So like in there's that whole Lorenzo Music, Bill Murray thing or whatever, where it's like they both played both characters of Garfield and and why can't I remember the name, Venkman in Ghostbusters. Just one did the live action versions and one did the animated versions or whatever. So it's like you can have multiple, or like how many Batman have there been, you know? It's like, characters eventually have to be played by somebody else.
Yep.
You know, there's been 10 James Bonds. You know?
I was hoping for the guy who played Loki.
Tom Hiddleston?
He was going to be Bond.
I wanted Idris Elba to be Bond.
That'd be cool.
Have you guys seen Luther?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. So if you want show recommended, watch Luther.
Watch that one next.
He is the biggest piece of crap cop ever, but you can't help but root for him. He does everything wrong, but he is just, you just want him to win all the time. It's so freaking good.
Well, we're still coming down. So we finished the Avatar high, and now we're watching Legend of Korra, which is like a sequel. It's good. It took a while to get into the environment again.
So you want to? Okay, Sokka, his voice did not change between Avatar and Legend of Korra, even though he's like 20 years older in Legend of Korra.
So what?
Isn't his voice supposed to get deeper, Jeremy?
That they just
Jeremy's voice is higher now than when he was in middle school. So
yeah, it's real high. You got a problem? No, anyways. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm still not even ready for a live action Ahsoka.
I'm not either.
Because if they don't, like, the internet's gonna freak out if they don't do the character justice. It's kind of the thing where dreaming about it's fun, but in actuality it might not play out. People are worried about the Laku, and that's the last thing I'm worried about. They're gonna pull off the costume.
Oh, yeah, they can digitally augment it. Yeah. I have 0%.
Here's the thing. You guys remember the Togruta? And not the Togruta, but Twi'lek in Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Do you remember her montrals? They were stiff. They didn't move. They were just hanging there.
Yeah, she wasn't like a major player character, though.
They learned their
lesson. She was.
What's that?
In that episode.
Oh, yeah, but it's not like something where they're like, we need to make this like look amazing. Like, it just needs to be good enough.
Yep.
And honestly, like the Twi'leks and all that in like Return of the Jedi look pretty terrible, too.
Hey, we have one of those as our fan. I'm just kidding. Sammy Taylor.
I wouldn't say she's a fan. I think she just appreciated that we shouted her out. So
she was in New Orleans not that long ago doing a signing.
Yeah, she That's and dope. Her boyfriend. Yeah. They've been traveling around the States.
Yep.
That's probably on lockdown now.
Yeah.
She was just at a Comic-Con like a week ago, though. Until, so, I mean, but
there was one that wasn't closed.
Yeah, well,
everything's
like
been canceled.
A Comic-Con style event. It was like a whatever. But day to day things change, which is just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Morning to evening, things will change.
Yeah, ain't that true?
It's insane.
So yeah, I'm a little. We'll see. I feel bad for Ashley if she
I can definitely see part of the this is the thing that frustrates me about Star Wars. There's this vocal minority that hates everything, no matter what people have done. Mm-hmm. They will be mad about it, right? Yeah. So like, it's just about how loud those people get. And these are people that I'm sure still say that Return of the Jedi sucks.
Right.
They're like, the only good Star Wars was Episode 5 or something.
I told you that. I think I told you both. I had a patient who has a friend will not watch the second half of Return of the Jedi.
He'll watch four, five, and then half of six.
He hates the Ewoks. He will not
Where
watch.
Do you even end it at that point? What scene do you end it on? Luke getting captured, and then that's it? And you're like, okay, we're good. He joins the dark side in your mind?
Yeah, they get to Endor pretty quick in that movie.
I know they do.
It's so. Like, okay. And I am not a hater. I'm just...
I hate her.
Well, the last podcast, Kara read off the 10 list and the special features and extras.
Yeah.
We went home and watched all the extras for 4, 5, and 6.
Well, was it good?
It is. I was going to call you and tell you. It is Star Wars every day written all over every single one of those episodes. They are my new gem of treasures in this world. So first off, we started with 6, which had an amazing little gem of actually seeing Luke build his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there as a deleted scene.
Interesting.
Amazing, amazing shot. Then...
It was the opening for... Yeah, it's...
It was opening for 6.
Yeah.
It would have been the opening scene
because
for 6.
Then, so it was the opening scene, and then R2's with him, and then he comes out of the cave on Tatooine, C-3PO's out there, and that's when they go on their...
Oh, I guess that makes sense, and that's where he could have been like, chunk, and dumped it into R2.
That. They show that. So he's like... The crystal's already in there, but he just like puts it together and then like finishes it. And then, yeah, and then he puts it in R2 and R2 rolls out and then those two go off together.
Interesting.
I don't see why they cut that. That totally could have been a thing. Super cool.
And like, so I can't remember where I read this or saw this, but somebody was like joking about how like Luke is talking to R2. He's like, okay, so I'm going to give you my lightsaber and you're going to hold on to it and you're going to get captured. And then I'm going to get captured. And then I'm going to give you a signal. You might not know what it is, but when I give you that signal, you're going to shoot my lightsaber out into the air and then amazing stuff is going to happen.
That's right. Like, he tells it all in binary too.
Yeah.
0100.
Okay, so here's something that did not make it into that Star Wars Every Day. There's a thing called the Larynx 7. It's basically like a harmonica where you can make those noises to communicate with droids that can only speak binary.
Interesting.
And there's even a list of like different like beeps and bloops to make and what they mean to those droids.
That's cool.
There's so much about that language. It's so interesting. Check out that Star Wars Every Day sometime middle next week on Facebook.com/Rise of the Podcast.
That's awesome. So there's that scene. And then one of the other ones that blew my mind. And so there's two things, Chris, and you can maybe explain it to me. Some shots are just even in straight up black and white. So can you develop, I used to develop film, but I only develop black and white film. Can you develop color film to be black and white?
I would imagine so.
So do you think they like ran the footage all in black and white first, cut it together, and then redeveloped it in color? Or do you think...
I think it might have been like something for like dailies where there's like a... So there's... This may or may not be completely accurate or apply to this particular situation, but... So there's this concept of dailies where it's like you would shoot your stuff for the day and then you would send a copy of it out to be rush processed. So then the next day you could look through the footage that you shot the prior day. Got right. It. So some productions would use just like a crappy, like 16 millimeter camera running dirt cheap film. So you can get an idea of what you had.
Got it.
And it's basically just like mounted right next to your other camera.
Got it.
You know, so like it could be a scenario like that. I don't know how often that happened.
Makes sense because I know when it was the black and white, there was lots of like scratches and a lot of like dots and just like
way more than I thought.
Just a lot of noise.
You know, and like it could be degraded film. You know, it's like there's a lot of possibilities. I honestly don't know tons and tons about production in the film days.
Right.
Particulars, but yeah. So like,
makes sense.
All I know is that if I was getting into filmmaking now and it was still film. I would have not done it.
Digital is nice.
So I'll say like film is very, very forgiving. You can go like several stops under or over and recover it.
Right.
There's a lot of fidelity recoverability in it, but like the expense and the hassle and all that stuff and not knowing like you can check back like literally when we're done recording the podcast today, we can check back all the stuff.
Right.
Right now. But
speaking of costs, you know, not being at work, I've been doing a lot of cleaning and getting rid of things in the house. And I was cleaning out my craft room and I came across a package for pictures. And it was $14 to have those pictures developed.
Yeah.
And that was, let's see, that would have been 2010-ish. So 10 years ago, it was $14 to develop a roll of film.
That's 24 exposures.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's crazy.
That is.
I was like... Dang.
I remember having my mind blown when you dropped out film and they would give you a CD with it.
Right.
So you had like the digital copies, but they're like, 8 pixels wide. There's the worst.
Yeah, because it was just scanned in, I think, after they developed your pictures.
Well, and then you could go, like, then they came out with computers where you could put in, like, once the digital cameras came out, you know, put that in. That was nice, just having your pictures printed like that.
Yeah.
I've always lose the format war. So I lost the Blu-ray HD DVD format war, and then I got a digital camera that had XD cards. And so and then I was like, oh, who's going to use SD? And it's like SD has still stood the test of time.
So what was the difference between XD and SD?
XD was half the width of an SD card, and then it had like a weird curve in it for to like catch your thumb. It was almost like the curve of your thumbnail or whatever.
It was the curve that did it.
So, I have an SD card reader that has an XD slot. And Sony's memory sticks are very, very similar, but not quite the same. The memory stick one, it was a very similar design where it's almost like, because they're trying to have like more pin access.
Yes.
So like a CF card or a CF Express or CFast. I do too. Just like the
size of them.
Yeah. It's 40. Like SDs. I can't tell you how many SD cards I've broken.
Right.
I've probably broken $500 worth of SD cards in my life just because of how, like, A, I use them a lot.
Right.
And B, like, you know, get them in and out of cameras and stuff like that. It's like you can drop them and chip a corner off of them and stuff. I have an SD card at work that I accidentally used that was broken. And I had to just pray that I could get the footage off of it. Like,
oh.
It was it was split down the side, so one of the pins is totally missing off of it, and like somebody has just like thrown it in and was like, oh, there's a card in there, I'm good to go, but like right. it'll write to it pretty much fine, but it's hard to get it to read off of it because it doesn't have that good connection, right. And it's just like crossing fingers hoping right. that I can get this footage out so I don't have to go and reshoot, but
you put the card in, you wave north 3 times, spin in a circle,
yeah,
you know, wash your hands, and then it'll
So, okay, it's like this is a story. Like, now we're talking about just insane stuff. So, I bought this. So, I think you've seen my SD card reader that I have. Yep. It's white, that pops open and stuff. Yep. So, they had those cards those card readers at the college that I went to. And I was like, I really liked them, right? And they're like $25. So, I bought one for home. And then at work, we have SD card readers in the computers themselves, but those never freaking work.
No.
Right? So, we have two really cheap, like $5 SD card readers. They're USB 2.0s. So they're incredibly slow. Oh, and they only do SD and CF. So, you can't even do like a micro SD or anything, right? And like when we shoot drone stuff or anything with a GoPro, it's micro SD. So, then you have to get one of the shuttles, which slows it down even more.
Yep.
Anyway, so I bought one for work, and I was like, because like I was sick of sharing with people, trying to track one down, whatever. And then so I have it set up, and then people will be like, hey, I need to use a card reader. And I'm like, this one's mine. but somebody was having trouble. The other card reader wasn't reading the card at all. And I was like, well, let's try mine. And it worked perfect. So it's just like,
you get what you pay for.
No, exactly. So the Lexar white $25, 25-in-1 card reader, not a sponsor, but definitely worth getting.
That's awesome. And you know, I've had that stuff with other scenarios too. It's like just even certain, remember, I mean, CD drives used to be really expensive when you put them in computers, and they would get down to like $9.99 for a CD drive. And then it was the same thing. Sometimes you would burn a DVD and then you use it in someone's cheap $10 CD drive and it just wouldn't read it right. You throw it in a decent one and it would read it or whatever, but which is always pretty interesting. But I wanted to backwind to the deleted scenes.
Yes.
So another return.
How did we get where we are?
Fidelity of film all the way down to fidelity of SD.
Yeah. Jeremy lost the format wars.
Yep.
Your dad was a soldier in the format wars.
Right.
Right. Just losing every time. Now, if I was old enough, I probably would have picked Betamax or whatever.
It came out before VHS.
Yeah.
It's like the early one is the one that always loses.
Yeah.
Betamax lost. HD DVD lost.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember going through Walmart and there was the maroon SD HD DVD and then the blue for the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
People must have just liked the color.
Well, no. So what I think this is only my own personal speculation. It coming built into the PS3 without any attachment.
Yeah.
No brainer.
That's what pushed it over the top.
Sony was right on the point. Let's make a format and the way to read it all in one. You don't need anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like $100 to get an HD DVD player for the Xbox.
Yep. Then you had to have it separate, and then USB, and then frickin' external power on top of everything else, which is the worst. USB powered is the way to go. if it's there. But all right, deleted scenes. So my favorite one that was 10 minutes long, and I can't believe we watched it all, but it was so cringy. Like I should join Justin's Patreon just to make him watch the whole thing as like a recommendation. But it's three or four pilots in black and white, and they're just in the cockpit of a different starfighters. A human
lady, and there were two humans, an old lady and a younger woman, I think it was.
Yep, and then there was also the Akbar character too, a Calamari.
Oh, no, never mind. It wasn't an Ithorian, sorry, it was a Calamari.
Oh, so a Calamari, a Nian Nub style character. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so what was fun for me was they're sitting there and then they're like, you know, the thing's moving a little bit, and then they're like looking around and they're had a guy who would read them their lines, and then they would immediately just read them afterwards. So you'd hear a guy off camera go, I have a hard time seeing you.
A hard time seeing you.
Yep. Stay on target.
Stay on target. That's how it was.
Yep. Oh, so just really flat monotone delivery.
And they didn't, and no inflection. It was like, there was one. The guy I've lost all visual, or like, I've lost all thrusters. I lost all thrusters. Like, you lost your freaking thrusters.
So here's what's funny though. So the voice sounds like, it's the guy who was doing it was like the computer voice from them when it was like, the Death Star will be in firing range and however, that's the voice of the guy who was reading them their lines. And he was doing a better job reading them than the people who were like the actors were.
Oh my goodness.
Here's where it got funny. So the guy, everybody's was spot on, real lines right from the script. The Akbar character, the Calamarian, his line reader was cracking jokes like every other one.
Yeah, he was so he'd be like, Calamari's on the menu for dinner tonight.
So then the guy would repeat it. Looks like Calamari's on the menu for dinner tonight or whatever. there was some really, I can't believe some of the things the guy said during filming. And then everyone just,
all fish jokes.
People laugh, you know. Yeah. It was really funny. And then, he's got these giant fish hands working all the controls.
Yeah, and there's like obviously no finger movement. It's just pecking at the thing.
Yeah, like he's flying and he's just, you know, like backhanding or forward, you know, like the stick. It's really funny.
But it was cool because, I mean, they're puppets. And so, you know, there's the guy, you know, like blinking the eyes, you know, moving the mouth, turning the head, using the flippers. Like it's intense.
Interesting.
It yeah. Nian Nub wasn't a puppet though. He was a character.
I think he was an actual
Yeah, he was a character.
Like latex stuff.
So that was really cool to see. And then there was a really cool scene in A New Hope where Luke actually goes to Tashi Station.
Yeah.
Like pick up some power converters.
Yep.
A whole big scene with Biggs.
Yeah.
Like
they're where they're talking about like as Biggs is leaving to go join the So I have seen that just on YouTube before.
Yeah. That was super cool. Like There was a scene where Luke is talking to some of his other friends, and it felt very 70s. Like, the girl was, like, long, straight, you know, brown hair, lounging against her boyfriend, and, like you know, 70s feeling, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So that was kind of cringy. But the whole scene between Biggs and Luke was actually pretty cool.
Did they have the thing where Luke sees, like, the starfighter?
Yeah.
Or the thing up in the sky and everything?
Yep. Yeah, it's a really crappy, like, blinky triangle. Like,
yeah.
It's just kind of like almost like lens flare being bounced mm-hmm. back and forth. There's like four triangles.
Yeah.
It's the space battle.
Yeah, he's like, that's not a space battle. They're probably just preparing for something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the really, really good one in Return of the Jedi 2, which makes me give an unfathomable amount of credit for just how good Harrison Ford is. There's a scene where they're busting into the shield generator and there's, you know, obviously there's no music. Obviously, you know, the stormtroopers are like faking their deaths when they get shot by him. And he's just so good at pulling it off. So he's like taking cover. There's no gunfire. They're all just sitting here, you know, doing
like
this.
Little cat guns, more or less.
You know?
But it was so funny. There was one scene where the stormtroopers are getting shot, and one stormtrooper, like the last one to get shot, comes in, and you can see him look for a spot to fall. Like he kind of looks, and then just gently.
And then there's like another guy that like dies and falls down like hands and then like almost in like, you know, knee and then his butt's in the air. So then the other guy kind of like falls and he just pushes him to the right as he falls to the left so they don't go the same way. It's just, but
I can see why they didn't use that scene.
It's really good and a really funny thing.
The fact that Harrison was able to actually be serious about
the whole thing. Chewie goes the wrong way. So he like yells at him. He's like, Chewie, you're going the wrong way. And then, you know, like no roars or anything because, you know, whatever. Yeah. He turns and walks the other way. And it's really good. It's good. It's funny.
So one thing I think this is after listening to the IMC3PO. Did they actually go through and voice over every single scene?
Yes, they did. Every single actor did.
That's called ADR. That's standard.
Really?
Yep.
I thought they just got like the vocal. What's the point of boom mics and everything? Then
you need good reference sound to be able to match generally like the environment and everything. And then here's what ends up happening: you're sitting down. There's a monitor that's playing back the thing. You can hear your performance in there. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically getting looped, and you're just saying the same things back over.
That blows my mind. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's like these days, it's somewhere between 80 and 100% of all dialogue is ADR. It's automated dialogue replacement is what that stands for.
I had no idea.
So what's
crazy
fun for me, and that's why I love that book so much, is I get that background introspect to what it was like to do the film. So he specifically talks about, Anthony Daniels does, being flown out to LA to do ADR and how it was the way it had been for a long time when he did A New Hope. But then The Empire Strikes Back, they were on the leading edge of like getting into digital and then like getting into a different way of doing it. So when he did ADR for A New Hope, he only had three takes per cassette per line.
Before they had to either copy over one of the previous takes or throw a new reel on.
Oh, dang.
So they would start it, and then he'd hear it, and then it would click, and then he'd have to start his line, and he would do it three times. So yeah, they either had to like redo it, or it would like it would redo it, but it would record all three again, I think. Yeah. They would just record over the same one, and then that would be that little bundle of tapes, and then they'd do the next thing, and then for every line. Which is crazy to me.
Yeah,
it's really insane. Funny. So, like, they did try to have a reference sound for him or whatever, his recording. But he said because of how much his costume pinched and scratched. I mean, he was covered in scratches and bruises after every single day. And he said when they tried to use that recording, he said there were so many expletives and so much grunting and groaning. He was like, it wasn't even usable because they had a microphone in C-3PO's head and then like the pack in the back. But yeah, he said it was unusable because of just how much pain he was in. How
I mean, luckily his character didn't need to like line up with the mouthing or whatever. But
yeah, so basically when you see like the people recording like the big boom pole and stuff, they're just there to make sure that they get at least understandable level audio of everything that's happening in the scene, because it's used as reference material for people that are doing Foley work and the sound effects and stuff. And then it's also used for the actors to reference when they go back in to record their dialogue later.
Could you imagine doing your role and then going back and re-recording all the voice for that role over again?
Well, like imagine the data management, right? It's like, let's say you have like 25 scenes in your film, right? You know, and like, you know, characters have hundreds of lines of dialogue and stuff. So like this, like just the file name and convention alone can make or break like your workflow for doing stuff like that.
It's just crazy.
So
just crazy. Would you care? What if like every podcast Chris had to call us up and we had to re-voice all of this dialogue?
I would never have agreed to this. Y'all can do it by yourselves. Yeah.
Kara, why do you sound like Brownie doing a different voice?
Which is pretty crazy. So I highly recommend, if you're looking for something to do, I highly recommend
listening to Anthony Daniels' book and watching the extras.
The extras.
So you've only done the original trilogy so far?
For the extras. All of the prequels are on there. Goodness. And then
so we watched The Force Awakens. Star Wars or The Force Awakens in text.
And emojis.
And so the whole entire thing is probably like a 5-minute clip, would you say?
Yeah.
And it shows the entire movie, but all it is emojis, like the Star Wars emoji stickers or whatever that you can get.
Okay.
That's all it is.
And there is some text messaging.
Yeah.
So there's two, like the light side messaging the dark side of what's happening. So they're like popping the emoji.
I think there's some pew pew pews going on and stuff like that.
It's really well done. It's extremely well done. The animation is on point.
And unfortunately, they haven't done one for The Last Jedi or, as far as we know, Rise of Skywalker.
No, but it's for The Force Awakens.
And it's really good. Good. So good. Totally worth 5 minutes of your life.
Interesting. I liked it a lot. It's really funny. Some of the things they end up having emojis for is really good.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
So then this is not part of these special features. This is something else, right?
That's
it's under the
Oh, it is. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
We went back and looked, and then there was all the prequel stuff. And then we went and said, well, is there deleted scenes from the new movies? And there's some deleted scenes. And then, but a lot of the deleted scenes are like longer and bigger because.
In the old ones.
No, in the new
ones. The new ones are only like 27 seconds, up to a minute.
There's some longer ones.
Was there?
Yeah. Because there's like more, there's like full blown scenes they had planned to put in, and then they just completely cut. So they put them in there. But it's a lot. There's a lot to watch there, believe it or not, actually. But it's all pretty fascinating. If you like Star Wars, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Also, if you like Star Wars and you're looking to kill some time, we did a series of movie reviews of the Star Wars films called Star Wars is Great and Terrible. We detail for each film why they're great and do a separate video for each film about why they're terrible. So depending on which side of the fence you lie on, or if you just want to hear our opinions on both sides, you go ahead and check that out. I'll throw that up in the info card right there if Jeremy wants to give me a point. Boom, right there. Go ahead and click on that. So,
and that's, don't hate us for saying anything is terrible. We're just being nitpicky on some of it, okay?
That felt healthy.
Yeah, it's like we had to get it out.
And we didn't fanboy diss on him. We came up with logical,
legitimate complaints. Dislikes.
Yep. So yeah, things. Yep. Just go check him out. We don't need to give away the whole farm here. Just like check out the videos. That said, thank you guys for watching. Comment down below. Let us know that you made it to the end of the video. It's like, if you made it this far, I think we deserve a like. Subscribe if you're not already. Ring the notification bell. Check out some more stuff that's on here. We know that you're stuck inside. We're stuck inside. We've got plenty of stuff for you to go and check out. I think that if you made it this far, you'll find something else that you'll like on our channel. Thank you guys so much for watching. And of course,
may the force be with you.